Thank you very much, all of you, for participating this morning. Song leaders, those who have read Scripture, Daniel, for your beautiful prayer, and for those who gathered around the Lord's table and served us, thank you. Here in a moment, we're going to sing the song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. Isn't it true that all of us reflect back on our life from time to time, maybe quite often, where we look back and we see the happy times, the good times, those memories that swell up within us and that provide for us a respite, peace. But isn't there also times that we look back with embarrassment and with pain and with anguish, with hurt? As we consider the things that we have done that have been ill towards God and that have not benefited us or mankind. In Galatians chapter 1 and in Acts chapter 22, we see the Apostle Paul looking back on his life as an example for us, as a justification for us. The Apostle Paul had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Galatian people, and they accepted it, and they obeyed it. They met the conditions that Jesus Christ laid down for them. And then as time went along, and Paul left to pursue other people in other areas, they fell away. Paul is looking back in Galatians chapter 1, and he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. He said, I can't believe it. A different gospel. Away from the gift of salvation for which I preached unto you. The gift of grace which was delivered unto you, to go back to legalism, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into some kind of confusion. Are you confused? And they're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, he said, they should be under God's divine curse. They should have to deal with God's divine wrath. He says, as we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Any other gospel other than what we preach to you. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? He asks them. Or am I trying to please people? Do you think that's what this is about? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You remember, we cannot serve two masters, the Savior teaches us in Matthew chapter 6. You can't serve two masters. You see, the will of man conflicts with the will of Christ, and that's what it is that the apostle is trying to teach these people he's already taught who have left the gospel. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man. I didn't get it from man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus personally revealed it to me. Now he begins to look back. Listen to what he says to the Galatians and to us. For you have heard of my previous life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church and I tried to destroy it. That was my goal. That was my ambition. I was advancing Judaism beyond many, he says, of my own age and among my own people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, listen to what he says. Listen to it. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult human beings. He was at the head of his class, ladies and gentlemen. Among his peers, he was more zealous than any of the others in Judaism. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. His gospel that he preached came through revelation. It could not have been taught by mankind prior to his conversion. Why? Because he was seeking to destroy the church. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 22 as he continues to look backwards in his life. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now remember, this bright light is a light that we know of from John chapter 1. In him was life, and that life was a light. That life was light, the light of all mankind. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Jesus is bringing Saul to the clear realization of what he is, who it is that he is. Jesus is saying, I'm one with my followers. Saul, why are you persecuting? Who are you, Lord? He asks. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And he replied, my companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. And Paul, Saul of Tarsus, says, what shall I do, Lord? And Jesus said, get up and go into Damascus, and there it will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all of the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. Now, I will tell you that Ananias was a little bit concerned about this meeting because he knew who Saul of Tarsus was. And he knew the havoc that he had brought upon the church. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. And then he said to me, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear his words from his mouth. Let's don't miss that. He saw him and he heard the words from his mouth. And you will be his witness to all the people to all people of what you have seen and what it is that you have heard. And now, what are you waiting for? I want you to picture this scene. I want you to see Ananias and Saul of Tarsus there. I want you to hear what it is that Ananias tells him to do. Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is the recording that Paul provides for us of what occurred in his life at his conversion. Saul was confronted with the fact that the one whom he had directed his various oppositions and his hatred for, that very one had been raised from the dead. That which he didn't think was possible, he knew had happened. He realized the fact that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he was the Messiah. Of all men, he looked upon himself and looked back at that time and he said, of all people, I should have recognized it, but I didn't. God forgives our sins when we decide in our heart, when we have faith to meet his conditions. I have a difficult time understanding why, ladies and gentlemen, that people cannot see that. It is so simple. Saul of Tarsus saw it. Get up and go. Meet the conditions. And this is what we must do. You meet the conditions. You're baptized into Christ and you're raised, Romans chapter 6 teaches us. But here's the deal. You have your sins washed away. Let me tell you what that means. What that means is something similar to having your little boy or your little girl who's been playing outside and has gotten all dirty. You bring them in, you put them in the bath, you get the soap and you scrub them. That's what this means. What it means is to wash the dirt away, for sins to be removed. This is not a difficult concept. It's a clear picture, clear analogy. And so what are our conditions? How is it that we have opportunity to put our arms around the goodness of God? To be able to have opportunity to accept his grace, his free gift. How is it that we do that? Well, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we must die to sin. We must die to sin. That means you have to make up your mind that you are going to put sin away from your life, that you are going to make an effort to push that aside. And to not be involved in that anymore. Now, are we going to sin? Well, of course we are, because Scripture teaches us. We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. But I'm here to tell you, you have to die to that sin. You have to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make my mind up. I've made my mind up. You die to sin and you commit your life to Christ Jesus. You repent. You know, on Pentecost, you remember what it was that Peter said to the people. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. That's what he said to them. And you know what they were doing? They were looking back because they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They, like Saul of Tarsus, realized that they had crucified the Messiah. What shall we do? There's a condition to be met. He said, repent. Turn away from that. Turn away from ungodliness and point yourself towards Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Messiah, and be baptized, washed, buried with him in the water, the grave, and resurrected to walk in newness of life. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the conditions that we must meet in order for us to be right with God. And I ask you this morning, as you look back on your life, as you reflect back and you see, because you see, you can see. Nobody else can see except God and you, but you can see. As you reflect back on your life, you ask yourself this question: Is my heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Would you stand?
Oh, soul, have thine affections been.